All right, clear my throat in 3, 2, 1. Let's go. All right. You know what I love about technology? This is sarcasm. Because I was going on with the episode for about 25 minutes and just realized I was not streaming, nor was I recording. That is what we call good times, okay? So my name is Joseph Louthan. I am the author and the host of Theologicus, and I am so glad to be streaming right now. I'm so glad to be recording. We are going over the Genesis series. We're doing Genesis 1, starting at verse 6. If you are brand new to the channel and you're brand new to live stream, welcome, first of all. I'm glad you're here, especially to my friends on Facebook Live. Facebook Live, weirdly enough, is gathering a lot of people are discovering this channel, this whatever you want to call it, the series of episodes, podcasting or whatever. But Facebook is like really, my wife says it's really convenient for most people to catch this show on Facebook. And so I'm so glad I'm able to stream to Facebook at the same time as YouTube, at the same time as Twitch. So if you have a preference, I'm all three. If you are not a live person, those videos, you can watch my face and watch the screen and everything like that. It's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on Twitch. And if you're not a video person, it's like, I just like audio. Catch me on Apple. Catch me on Spotify. I use the Overcast podcasting app because it's a lot better than the Apple podcasting app. I know, maybe controversial. But the Overcast feeds off of Apple. So you just look me up on there. If you please subscribe. If you love this content, leave a review. There's a trope of podcasts and channels and stuff like that who do a bunch of talking and they host a show, leave an honest 5-star review. I get it, silly, but I want an honest review. So if you think I suck, put a 1-star there. Wow. Say I suck. You know, if you have some like constructive criticism, holler at your boy. But if you like it and you like it a lot, subscribe to it. If you really like it and you think, man, this is the bee's knees, give me a 5-star, okay? That will really help spread the word. And you're like, oh, I'm not into social media. Well, just leave a little 5-star review and just be on your merry way, okay? But I'm so glad you're here. So if this is your first time and you're like trying to dial in and figure out what the heck am I doing, well, this is Theologicus. And so all of my notes, I do a weekday Bible study around 5 o'clock, or in some cases when I forget to stream and record, about 5:25 p.m., later on in the day, all my study notes are right there. And if you can go, there's a link here to what is Theologicus and kind of like how this got started and where is it going and everything like that. And Mondays we do study in Romans. Tuesdays we do doctrine. Right now we're doing the Lord's Prayer. Wednesdays we're doing gospel meditations over the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Today, Thursdays, is Bible study in Genesis. I'm so excited about this series. And last but not least is going to be home devotions in Mark. My intention with the home devotions is simply how to lead your home, whether you have kids, whether you're married, roommates, parents, whatever. Take a little time, once per week, once per day, and just go through the devotions, okay? In some reason, some awesome reason, my hotkeys are not working, so you got that disturbance in the audio, and I'm so sorry about that. All right, so anyway, we're moving on. I'll just edit that out later in the podcasting. I would say that doing the live stream, the only downside is that the raw videos, they just stay up on Twitch, they stay up on YouTube, and they're going to stay up on Facebook. So, anyway, here we go. Okay, so in the Genesis study, my intention was to look at Genesis not in a technical, none of my Bible studies are going to be technical. They're not going to be in depth. We're not going to do like this huge like reading into it and all that stuff, I'm not an expert in that. So that would be kind of outside my wheelhouse. You know what is in my wheelhouse? It's proclaiming the gospel, okay? So through this lens, I wanted to engage Genesis 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2, with the intentionality of God, okay? And that is audacious at best. But Genesis 1:1, I talked about our forever love, that God's intentions, his hearts, his affections, desires, and his love towards us was always there before Genesis 1:1, okay? Genesis 1:1 through 5, our forever wisdom. We talk about God creating the heavens and the earth, and his wisdom was there in the beginning, and the wisdom was found in the triune God. I don't think wisdom is like a literal character. I think this is a facet of God, an attribute of God that we share in part, but not in the whole. And God's wisdom is so, I mean, the omniscience of God. We have nothing that compares to that here on earth, other than the fact that we are created. We share in the, we, in that way, we're the, we are out of his love by through his omniscience, because he is all-knowing, because he is all-wise, we are here today, okay? And then now we're in the third episode of the series on Thursdays is Genesis 1, 6 through 13, our forever home. Okay, now, what do you mean by that, Joe? What do you mean by that? Well, you know, if you've been in church for a while, you know what Genesis 1 is about. God created the heavens and the earth. What I want to point out in this is that in the text, we read the text and think about this. This was intentionally our home, okay? This was supposed to be our home forever. But we know because of Genesis 3, it's not... It was broken, but we know God is redeeming, and we know by revelation, it's not going to be forever our home, okay? Heaven will come down to earth, and God will have his presence here, and it will be so grand and glorious, we cannot even fathom it. So, in so many ways, what God called good, and we're going to see what he calls good, in despite our sin, the redemption, the love, and the salvation of God in the end becomes more glorious than Genesis 1 was ever, okay? And that's a lot to take in. Well, let's get into it, okay? Genesis 1, starting in verse 6. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. That's a mouthful. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. The evening came and then the morning, the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds." And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to the kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw it. It was good. Evening came, and then the morning, the third day. Okay? You know, before we get started, or just read the text, before we get started, let's pray to God. Lord, we thank you for your sovereign hand. Lord, thank you for when we make mistakes, you have grace for us. Lord, we thank you. Your redemption was forever since the beginning. Since sin entered in the world, you responded in grace, but you responded in power. And you responded with a plan that was not going to fail. And that plan was Jesus Christ, your son. God, open our eyes, open our ears, renew our minds, and swap our hearts out for yours. God, we love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Okay. Now, what are we going to talk about God? We just talked about what we do. What did he do? Okay. Oh, he created the heavens and the earth. He created the sky and the earth and the seas and all the vegetation within the earth, okay? Now, you say that, okay, we say that, but here is a tenet, a primary tenet of the Christian faith, okay? And now, when I say the Christian faith, that's going to encompass Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant, okay? If you claim to be a disciple and a follower of Christ, and you say, I trust and believe and obey in him, the primary tenet is that God made everything, and he did so out of nothing. There is nothing that existed before God. God is everything. God made everything, and he made everything out of nothing. When we say that, if you know your faith, if you have faith that doesn't belong, that's not in Christianity, or is kind of like an offset of Christianity, if you kind of dig in deep, you know, I have friends who are Mormons, so I'm not saying anything that's not true, but in the depths of their theology, they do believe that God he existed before he was God, okay? So, you know, you might be asking, what are some of the differences between some of the faiths, like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, or even like certain sects within Church of Christ? If you examine just a little bit, you find out that people are sometimes using the same words, God, Father, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, or Jesus Christ, or heaven or hell, or earth, or whatever, but they are not meaning the same thing. So that's where language is so important. How we define these terms are so important so we can actually communicate, okay? So Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible, okay? Now, I'm going to say all that, and we're like, we just read Genesis 1, and we know by faith, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and he did so out of nothing. But what does the Bible say about who God is in that creation? Okay, so I'm going to lean on and depend on Acts 17, okay? Acts 17, we'll start at verse 24, okay? Give me a second, I'm going to take a little birdie break. All right, here we go. Acts 17, starting at verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And in some of your own poets, you're speaking to the Greeks, have said, for we are indeed his offspring. So let me ask you, faithful listener, where do you see God in the text? What does the text say about God? Okay, so from Genesis 1, using Acts 17, where this is sola scriptura, that the scriptures can tell us what the scriptures mean. Okay, it's not circular. Don't give me circular reasoning. It's not circular. We go to the scriptures to tell us what scripture means. If the scriptures cannot speak about a certain scripture, then we just let it go. Okay, just let it go. And maybe God, Holy Spirit will reveal to us, but there's no new revelations. Listen to me. Somebody says, I have a new revelation. That's a red flag. Okay, that's another show. All right. From what we can automatically, let's just go through the basics. These are the attributes of God that we can pull from Genesis 1 and Acts 17. You ready? God alone is creator, which is, you know, stands to reason, but he is sovereign. He is omnipresent. He is provider of everything, including life, okay? So let's read 24 and 25 again. The God who made the world and everything in it, creator, being Lord of heaven and earth, sovereign, does not live in temples made by man. This is omnipresent. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself is to give, he gives to all mankind life, breath, and everything. That is provision, okay? Now, creator, we get. We know that's a primary tenet. Sovereign, okay, so when we talk about sovereignty, we're talking about he is Lord of heaven and earth. Does that mean that we are robots that we, you know, compute, you know, just give us data and we'll go and do the bidding of God? No, that's not what that means. We do have a will. Much like the will of God, we actually have the will. Now, I'm going to send this out and we can make a show about, I will get to and go in depth more about this. What I will say is that every unbeliever, those who do not trust God, their wills are not free, okay? Now, what's the basics of free will is that none of us can grow to 9 feet tall, sprout wings, and fly. Okay, well, duh, no one can. So there's a limitation to our will. So free, there's some limitations to our freedom, right? But the unbeliever does not live in freedom. Their wills, without God, cannot choose God for themselves, okay? And in so much as they cannot do good unless God saves them, okay? That might be a little controversial, but it is true. Once God rescues the person, once God changes our hearts, once God gives us the faith, and once God gives us his spirit, it is only then we can obey him. This is nothing new. If you listen to this channel, you read your Bible, I ain't saying nothing new, okay? This is nothing new. Don't get freaked out. All right. Now, that's sovereignty. So we're talking about sovereignty and free will, but that's another episode. Omnipresent. And what do I mean by omnipresent? That means he's everywhere all the time, okay? Now, he does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Now, I'm going to use a term that I've heard millions of times, and it's usually by people who don't want to engage in theology. Well, you can't put God in a box. Okay, we get all that, right? There's no way a human hands can build something that can possibly contain the everything about God. That's not possible, right? Now, God has instructed in the past, God has instructed his people to create a tabernacle so that he could dwell there. But that was always a foreshadow of what is to come, okay? That he himself was going to dwell in us. We are his temples. All right. Now, but the live in the box thing, okay? Let me put your mind at ease, I hope, is that if you are a Christian or not a Christian, you always gauge in theology. Theology is a study of the nature of God. It is in your theology, because of your theology, when you do good things or bad things, evil or good, or whatever in between, and everything that you do, your response to God dictates, that's your theology, right? Now, if you're a so-called atheist, if you're an atheist, like, there is no God, why are we even talking about God? I'm not going to acknowledge this conversation, because this conversation is about nothing, right? I don't engage in conversations about nothing. An atheist would say that. That is theology, right? He's saying there is no gods, okay? And so, to that end, in our minds, we cannot construct something and try to put God neatly in there. So, might I encourage you, if you have thought God of a certain way, a certain way, but it's kind of like bugging the heck out of you, or it's like something's wrong, go to your church, go to your local church, this is not church, go to your local church, ask your pastor, and hey, give them some grace. Like, pastors, give them the grace. It's not like they're like God. They're not all-knowing. So, like, they will, like, kind of wrestle the scriptures with you. A good pastor will wrestle the scriptures with you, kind of just like, where's your heart in all that? A lot of people like to ask questions, but there's a heart behind the questions. So, be in contact and be in community. So you can like, man, I really don't know what's going on here. Can you help me out? That's why we have community, okay? And that's why we can gather around the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about God in that matter, all right? So, he does not, and here's the other thing I'm about to get to. Here's another point. As though he's not served by human hands, although as though he needed anything, since him himself gives life to all mankind, life, breath, and everything. Okay. God doesn't need anything. Okay? He doesn't, and he doesn't need us. So you're like, what's the big deal, Job? I kind of get that in part, but what's the big deal? But let's sometimes we say God needed something. Like, you know, well, I don't do this all the time. I'll catch myself like, oh, God needed me to do X, Y, Z. God didn't need you to do anything. He is all powerful. He provides for all. He provides everything, including my life and the life of everyone who's ever lived, right? So what I mean is that and we talked about the love of God earlier in Genesis, before Genesis 1:1, we have to remember that God, in his love, he wanted us. He wants us, okay? And I know that that could be a little bit traumatic for some people, especially if you've ever been through a divorce, because to say my spouse wants me would indicate that there's a chance that they will change their mind. See, God's not whimsical. God's not going to be like, oh, I'm going to change my mind on you. You know, I want you, but you know what? You kind of stink today. Or you know what? You haven't gotten your stuff together for a long, long time. I'm just going ahead and just disown you. That's not how God works, okay? When God wants something, he goes after it. He chases it. And if you are captured by the love of God, if you're gripped, he doesn't lose us, okay? That's in John 10. Jesus says of the Father and of himself that no one will snatch him away from my hand. Of the Father, no one will snatch him away from the hand of the Father. We have God has a double grip on our lives. If we are obedient and trust in him, he has a double grip on our lives. And you said, well, I know people who have fallen away from the faith. We could talk about that later on. Like, here's some theories out there, but here's the thing. Where that person is right now, let's say they walked away from the faith, but where they at now is not where they're going to end up. Let's see what God does. But you pray for him. You pray for them, and you reach out to them, and you be their friend, okay? You reach out, and if you can't be their friend for one reason or another, pray for them. Pray for their salvation. When I say these things, you in your head, God has put somebody's name in your mind right now. Go and pray for that person. Pray that God will save him. God will save her, okay? God will rescue them, okay? You go and do that right now, okay? Would you put me on pause or whatever? Or I would say do it right now. Okay. Ooh, my light's moving. Okay. Now, here's the good news. Now, in every episode, I always talk about the good news, but sometimes I have to start out with some kind of bad news. Well, it's not bad news in a sense that it is reality. This is the realization, okay? So in this series, like in the Roman series, you'll see the same format. Sometimes I have to keep it real. I try to keep it real. And just keep that in mind. Okay, so now this is not that bad of a news, but I just for here on out, if you hear the gospel, but I go into the bad news, just remember we're keeping things real. Verse 26 of Acts 17, what we know, we'll start with the gospel. God determines the times and places of where we live. Now, when I was doing this before and I thought I was recording, but I wasn't recording. I said, for every believer, he determines the times and places for where we live. But guess what? He does that for all of mankind. For one man, he has made every nationality, this is verse 26, to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. Why is that so, Joe? Because God does not do, and here's the reason why not. God does not do this, does this not because of our comfort, our liking, our investments, or the safety, or the neighborhood, or the towns that we want to live in, or safety, It is only so that we could carry out the commission from Christ Jesus, okay? But in essence, why does he determine the times and places of where we live? He did this, verse 27, so that they might seek God, all of us. They might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each of us, okay? And again, we talked about putting God in a box, talking about theology earlier on. The glory of God is not contained in what we do, no matter how hard we try to box in God. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. And as even some of you, your own poets, have said, for we are also his offspring. Since then we are God's offspring, we shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art or imagination. So Psalm 72, blessed be his glorious name forever. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory as the water covers the sea. Here is, if you're part of the, I'm trying to remember, or any their episodes earlier this week, we talked about, in Monday's episode in Romans, this lines up with this. We don't put God in a box so we can confine him and then get disappointed when God operates outside of our the confines of where we put him at, right? That's idolatry. We certainly can't do something with our minds or with our hands, our hearts, and put our faith and hope and trust in something not God and expect that non-God thing to rescue us when we need it most. Only God saves. Only God rescues, okay? And idolatry is a feeble attempt to control God. If you catch yourself doing this, if the Holy Spirit is revealing to you right now some of the idols that you have made with your heart, just repent of that. Go to God, and God will destroy your idols. You got to trust in him. You got to go to him, okay? Now, we say all this. We say all this, okay? What does that have to do with our forever home, okay? I'm setting it all up. His earth fills, his glory fills the entire earth, okay? He determines where we live, everybody, so that we would run to him, go to him, maybe reach out for him, maybe ask some questions, right? And then I'm going to add one more caveat to this, okay? So all of mankind is determined by their times and boundaries, right? The fact that I was born in 1975 in Carswell Air Force Base in the middle of Fort Worth, that was a determination of God, right? So that I end up here in Norman, Oklahoma, married to Sarah, okay? And I have three beautiful children, and that's all determined by God. And I live in the neighborhood that I do. Why? To minister, to reach out, to love, to serve, to think of my neighbors more higher than me, okay? To share with them the gospel. But I make such an emphasis on preaching the gospel. It is a commandment that all Christians are to share the gospel, okay? Now, if you're hardcore Baptist or, you know, you come from like, you know, you got to decide, you got to figure that out right now. Do you decide, you know what? And then there's other people that's like, I'm not that confrontational. I'm not that direct, but I'm really good at like sharing my testimony, and I'm really good at sharing my life with other people. Hey, there's all kinds of ways to shave a cat, okay? How we get there is by the grace of God. How do we or obey him? It's by the grace of God, okay? And it's by his power that we get to obey him. And it's by his regeneration of our hearts that we get to obey him. And it's renewing of our mind. And it's by his Holy Spirit that we get to obey him, okay? So don't fret. But let me ask you a question. Why are we to carry out the Great Commission, okay? Why are we... Now, if you're going to say, well, we should obey the Lord, okay, yes, that we should. But there is a rhyme and reason to going out and raising disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all these disciples to observe everything that Christ commands us to do. Why are we to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. Why are we to be his witnesses in our city, our nation, and all over the world? Now, why do we do that, Joe? Why do we do that? Well, here is the gospel command. Let's continue in Acts 17 at verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Guess what? Jesus Christ being raised from the dead is a historical fact. And I've seen this pop on social medias, okay? We live in the age of information, and yet this information is corrupt. It lies. It is not the truth. And I cannot, if you have not seen this, praise be to God, because God is shielding you from this. But I've come across people who would make ignorant statements that not only did God not only was Jesus Christ not raised from the dead, but he was also didn't exist in the first place. But we have historical proof and evidence that Jesus Christ was real and he resurrected from the dead. Now, there are other faiths, like the Muslim faith, would say, well, he really didn't die. And a lot of like what we call like modern reasoning, like, well, did he really die? We don't know that to be sure. And all kinds of nonsense. And the thing about it is that we say God does all of this. He determines where we live, what times we live, and puts us in certain places to know that God is not actually far from us, in that we are image bearers of God. That's what we call we're his offspring, okay? But God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he did set a day where he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has appointed. That proof is Jesus Christ, okay? Now that we know the gospel command that we are to repent, we are to go and raise these disciples, proclaim the gospel, be his witness, okay? Now, I've said this once on this channel, I've said it 1,000 times, and 1,000 times more. The commands of the Lord are easier said than done. So when you preach, share, proclaim the gospel, when you share your testimony and the power of God, here's stone cold facts. You're going to get 3 types of responses, okay? Continue on in Acts 17. When you do this, this is what's going to happen. First, you're going to be ridiculed and mocked, okay? Verse 32, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some begin to ridicule him, okay? Hey, you knowing God, you believing in God, you trusting in God is a supernatural grace and work from God himself. When you get, don't be afraid of people rejecting your truth, rejecting absolute truth. It's not just your perception. It's not your evidence, or it's not even, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Anyway, it's not because of just your perspective. It's not a relative truth that's just true to you. The gospel is true absolutely, no matter who you are. It's true. Now, you could choose to believe it, but does it make it less true? Does that make sense? And you might be ridiculed and mocked. That's okay. Again, what do we say on the channel all the time? Where you're at now is not where you're going, okay? But you don't, we are to, by God's grace, we are to love one another, and we are to reach out, and we are to be in the world, okay? We don't have to reject them. And now, if they're harmful to you, you can keep your distance for, and that's for anybody. That's just not for unbelievers. But if somebody's trying to harm you, or, or they're blasting you or just calling you names, you can just like, you know what? The Lord may be with you. You might have to do a little separation, okay? So now you might also, this is, You know there's like two ways of doing this. Either outright rejection, black and white, outright rejection, or outright acceptance, all right? Let's talk about the third way. Let's talk about what seems to be neutral. It's not so neutral, okay? You are going to get some with good intentions, with 100 questions, or as I call them, looky-loos, okay? And it goes on in the passage, but others said, we would like to hear from you again about this, right? They're like, well, keep preaching at us. Maybe we'll get it, okay? And some people just like to, like, they just want to hear themselves think out loud, okay? They have no intentions. It could go a little bit both ways. They do have sincere questions, and maybe they are seeking, but also sometimes they're like, you know what? I have no intentions of following God, but you sound really good, so I'm going to keep hearing you, okay? Fine, whatever. But look at what Paul does. So Paul left their presence, okay? But however, some people joined them and believe, including Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, others with them, okay? So no matter, but here's the tie-in for all this, right? This is all of this work, the gospel, the Great Commission, where we live, where we're being sent out. Are we sending? Are we going? Or are we sending people out to go? All of this, the church, evangelism, all of this is the redemption of the earth. It's really the redemption of our home, okay? No matter what response you get in the moment, you got to remember these three things. God will always be with you. God will be with you until the end of the age. And God is redeeming the whole earth. Our forever home was never about the dirt underneath our feet, the roof over our heads, or even the family we do or don't have. It was always the presence of the Almighty God. God is sending every single person who trusts and obeys his son, Jesus Christ, to invite and bring in others who are far, far away from him. So go and tell them that there is a God who made you, who loves you, who is not far from you, who is inviting you to change your mind about your life, to trust in him and come home, come on home to him forever. And this is what we get. Our forever home is the presence of God. Whether there's some schools of thought about like, oh, this earth is going to be like not destroyed and heaven onto earth, or we're going to go to heaven or whatever. Wherever we end up locationally, that's not a word, in location, wherever we end up, the only thing that matters is that we are with God. There's a famous pastor, and I'm gonna like totally butcher this, but he talked about like so many people are so satisfied with getting to heaven, but there's no God, that's gonna be okay for them, right? Listen, if I get to heaven and there's no God, first of all, that's hellish. Second of all, I am in this to get God. Okay, I am here to look upon the face of my Savior who loved me and gave his life up for me. I'm here to see him face to face. Where is he at? Okay, he's the one who saved my life, who saved me and brought me into his presence forever. No matter what happens here on earth, I still have him. I still have God, okay? I still have Jesus Christ. He is my life. I have the complete fullness of joy. Whether times are tough or times are not so tough, or I'm feeling the effects of my own sin or sins of others, in his presence is the fullness of joy. And being at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. When I am finally with God at the end of my life, I will be able to look at him and hold his face and be face to face and be finally satisfied with everything. There's nothing else ever, not your life, being married, sex, success, power, wealth, kids, family, whatever. Nothing at all will give you complete satisfaction and pleasures forevermore other than God. And once God opens our eyes and renews our minds and exchanges our hearts, we will worship. We get to worship just like the sons of Korah once sang in Psalms 84. It's better a day in your courts, like not even inside your house, right? It is better to sit in your front yard than a thousands elsewhere. I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to live in the tents of the wicked people. And that is the God's honest truth, okay? So here's my simple prayer for today. I'm going to call God my forever home. My forever home, where else can we go? For you alone have the words to eternal life. And we now know that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God forever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining. Sorry for the lateness because I forgot to stream. I forgot to record. But now we're streaming. Now we're recording. If you have any prayer requests, you have any questions, thoughts, comments, let me know. Hit me up. There's a bunch of links here. Emails, all the things, even Discord, if you're into that sort of thing. But look me up. And until then, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, do not be waiting for me because I will not be live. I might do it live tomorrow morning, but I'm definitely recording Friday's episode. So stay in tune for that. Later.